Lord, we pray for the ministry in Harold Harbor this morning in Federal Hill, Harbor de Grace, Owings Mills, in Silver Spring, and here the clarity, authority, conviction, fellowship in the Trinity. Lord, you are the God of joy, love, and truth. We are your people. We are clean before you. When we are unclean, God, we come and make our confession. And if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we are clean. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Then sinners will be converted unto you, and transgressors. And you will do this, God. Thank you for light and life, love. In Jesus' name, may the deep call to the deep today. Help us, restore us, encourage us, and give us light, life. In Christ's name, amen. Wow, very beautiful. Amen. You may be seated. A couple sub-points that we will be referring to. It's Luke, the Gospel of Luke. I'll tell you which chapter when I get there. I think it's 11. Let's start there. Yeah. Luke 11. So our message, it'll be in little pieces, and the Trinity is one part, the Trinity, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They are God, and they have fellowship. They are a family, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Imagine God is a family. It's really true. God is a family, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We are made to be in a family, but what family? We heard a couple of years ago from Pastor Ben that Satan is a orphan. Lucifer in heaven was in the presence of God, but because of his rebellion and unbelief and his iniquity found in him, he was cast out of heaven, and he's an orphan. And when he came here as an orphan, meaning he has no father, then he wanted the human race to be orphaned also. And he actually has succeeded by our sin. We are separated from God, our Father. We are out of that family, out of the family of God, and then we have our own cursed family. Adam and Eve had a son. His name was Cain. He had another son, Abel, and what happened in that family. But shame came into that family. Adam and Eve sinned. They hid from God. They had children, and one of their children murdered the other one. Nice family. Hard times. We have suffered ever since. We know what it's like to be orphaned without a father, and the family that we are in to have problems. Deeply rooted in the absence of the family that we are designed to be in. So when the Son of God came, he came to show us the Father. That's in Hebrews 1 and verse 3. Who being the, I'm quoting, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, having purchased of our sins by his own blood, and holding all things together by the word of his power, sat down at the right hand of God, his Father. This family, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is always love and always truth. when we are born again, something happened where we move from behavior into relationship. Being born again, not of flesh, not of blood, but of God. John 1, verse 12. Being born again of the Word. 1 Peter 1 and verse 23. That new nature born in us is the Son of God. We cannot enter the kingdom of heaven unless we are born again. Our first birth, physical, with water. We came into the world through water. That means the amniotic fluid in our mother's womb was what made our first life possible. When her water broke and gave birth to us, we came into the world by water. You must be born of water and of spirit. Our second birth is when we are born of spirit. Our first birth is natural. Our second one is spiritual. When we were born again, we believed the gospel and Christ came into our spirit. We are now in the family. And being in the family, we now have something we didn't have before. Before we had death, now we have life. Before we had guilt, now we have freedom. Before we had our way, now we have our Father's way. And Jesus said, I always do what I see my Father do. John 5 and verse 19. So the Trinity is amazing doctrine. It's amazing. The Trinity. It's a constant meditation of ours. The Father always loved the Son. When he was baptized in the Jordan River, a voice came from heaven, Behold my Son, is a huge, in whom I am well pleased. The Son of God. That's who we see in the Gospels. That's who the Holy Spirit shows us all the time. The Son of God, the Son of God. Without the Spirit, I won't know the Son. Nobody knows the Son except the Father and to him whom he will show him, Matthew 11 and verse 27. But we come to church today in a kind of cool morning. Isn't it fun? I love the fall. And we had a flea market yesterday, and I bought this. No, somebody gave me this tie. I was going to buy it, but they gave it to me, and I, like a good, you know, guy, I couldn't turn them down. I just took it. So we had a good flea market day and a good outreach day yesterday, and in life, at home with my wife. Yesterday in the evening, we had some salmon together and salad and what was the other thing? Salad, salmon, and potatoes. Those little fingerling potatoes, the little ones. Oh, wow. It was good. You know, when I am by myself in life with my first birth, there is so much complicated troubles and worries and fears. But the Son of God came to give us a relationship where God would say, I am your Father. I am for you. I am not against you. I give you promises. I want to work in you something deep that's deep in your heart, a relationship. A free relationship by grace, a relationship of forgiveness, relationship of wisdom, relationship of love, a relationship of joy. It seems like when we touch the Son of God or he touches us, there's like light, life, hope, encouragement. And this is the fundamental problem in the human race, that we don't have this family. We have this other family. This other family where one brother kills another brother and goes off and builds a city. He doesn't care about his family. He doesn't care about his brother. We have another family, a family of sin and unbelief and fear and worry. We have a family of depression and discouragement. This is what we get used to. We live in this pain and this trouble. That's the way it goes. But when the Son of God comes into this world and we see and we touch the Son of God, we have some freedom we didn't have before. We have his nature. We have something different. Turn now. So that's the point number one. I want you to turn to Luke 11, please. And I want you to notice something. Maybe you would say, I would never have learned this part of the Bible. I don't know if I would ever have learned it, except I went to church today. It's kind of bold of me to say that, but I said it. I'm kind of a little bit joking around, but it's maybe true. There are things that I learned in this church I don't know. I don't know if I would ever learn them. It's so beautiful. Look at verse 39. It says, the Lord said unto him, now do you Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness? So we have the outside of the platter. The outside. You know how you have the dishes? You put them upside down. You put them where, however you do your dishes, and you have them clean on the outside. But on the inside, there's bacteria there. On the outside, you look clean. Pharisees, you say your prayers publicly, you're dressed in the right way, your behavior is right, but I see you, I see you. Verse 40, you fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? So when I read this verse, I thought, what is without? God make that which is without. What did he make that which is without? What's on the outside of you? My hair, ears, nose, my feet, my hands, those things on the outside. But didn't he also make that which is where? Within. What is that? Heart, soul. What are the parts? What's inside? Didn't he? Have you ever sinned and felt guilty afterwards? He made that. He made the conscience. Didn't he make? He made the outside, like the church or the synagogue, but then he made also, I got the worry, I got the fear, I've got the love. I love my dog, I love my wife, my country. I love life. Look at the NFL football players that have so driven and so strong and so determined and such fighters. Who made that? God made it. He made the outside. But he made also the inside. And these people are living only on the outside. Like, make sure you wash your hands because we are at the synagogue. Make sure that you go through and make sure everybody is watching you on the outside. But Jesus is saying, I see you on the inside. I know your fears, your worries, your trouble. And your religion is on the outside, but mine is on the inside. Because I'm God. And I know the hearts of men. And I know what people are going through. And I know when they are hiding, I know that they're hiding behind a costume, like a Halloween costume, which we'll look at in a minute. I see where they are at in their life, and I see them suffer. Look at the next verse, 41. It says, But rather give alms of such things as you have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. Meaning, if you would be able to part with some of the stuff that you possess, maybe that's a good evidence of something in your heart. All right, so there's another verse, 36. Go up to 36. I don't want to be too long on this, is it? Because we haven't got there yet. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, verse 36. If your whole body is full of light, having no part dark. That little phrase caught me this morning in my meditation. Having no part dark. And I thought, Lord, there is something dark. 99% of me is right. Remember that illustration I gave about a man selling 1,000 acres of land? There's 1,000 acres of land. Anybody remember this? That must be like, this is old, 10 years old. And the devil, you know, he would like, you can sell 1,000 acres, but the devil wants to keep 1 acre for himself. And what's wrong with that picture? Because if I sell 999 acres and the 1 acre that I keep is in the middle there, then, you know, I could have some road and I have access to that and the whole thing changes. Of course, I might not have access to the acre because I can't build the road on his property. And there are many points regarding the illustration, but I want to make a point. The Lord is saying, what's it saying? If your whole body is full of light and you have no part dark, and that's the problem. But because of our new birth, that is possible. Without the new birth, that is not possible. Without the new birth, there's no way that I can love God with all my heart and my mind and my soul and my strength. But it's possible now. Have you ever felt it in your life where you could give everything up? Have you ever felt it in your heart? I don't mean just when you first get saved, but after being saved, were there times when you cried out, Abba, Father? You said, Father, it's not an issue of like me going to church or having a tambourine or strumming a guitar or reading my Bible. It's more than that. God, it isn't on the outside. What I'm looking for is something that is on the inside. And I know I got it. Because when I was born again, I cried out, Abba, Father. And when I cried out, Abba, Father, that was the Holy Spirit saying, Father, and that I'm in the family. And that I can say, Father, from my heart, because I'm in the family by the Son of God, who on a cross made it possible for us to be born again and in the family. This is a game changer. But I got to say that even as we live as believers, there are some believers that kind of leave the internal life and they adopt an external life. And they learn to live externally. And the Lord is saying, come on. He that made the outside is also the one that made the inside. And your feelings are important to God. Your feelings are important. Your thoughts are important. Your devotion is important. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Now this leads us up to the main part of the message, which is at the end of John chapter 4. And then we'll go, I think we will make it to 1 Kings 14. It's not a lot of work, but it's great stuff. this man has a sick child. I have two illustrations of a sick child in our message this morning. The first sick child is this one. There's the dad. The dad has a sick child, and the child is going to die. He is dying, actually. But he has the courage to go seek Jesus, to find Jesus, because he believes in Jesus. Look at chapter 4, verse 43. Isn't it? No, I'm sorry. Verse 43. Verse 46. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman said unto him, sir, come down before my child die. Jesus said unto him, go your way, your son liveth. The man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. As he was now going down, his servants sent met him, told him, saying, thy son liveth. All I want to say about this story is the kind of openness, the kind of humility, the kind of hunger, the kind of thing where Jesus is kind of caustic in his words with the man, but it doesn't stop the man because the man is like not that important. You can offend me. I'm not that important. My son is dying, and please heal him. Come and heal him. And Jesus, instead of coming, he just said, your son lives. I have the feeling of the atmosphere of the story that it's one of purity, clarity, simplicity, openness, and transparency. Our prayer as believers is that this kind of family, where a man is coming to Jesus in need, and this openness, and you can offend me, it doesn't matter, I don't care, just say the word. Just do what it is, because I believe you. And Jesus said, go, your son liveth, and the man said, you know, in his heart, I believe. So he turned and he went back home, and the son was healed. But I've got to suggest something to you today in our message, and that is, I'm afraid of myself that kind of simplicity, humility, and flow of truth and fellowship could depart from me. That I could somehow play a game. And this is a similar story in the Old Testament from 1 Kings 14. So turn there with me, please, and the text will speak for itself. There was a king in the north. There was a prophet. Jeroboam is the king, and his son is sick. 14, verse 1. That time Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, fell sick. Jeroboam said to his wife, arise, I pray thee, and disguise yourself, that you be not known to the wife of Jeroboam, and get thee to Shiloh. Behold, there is Ahijah, he's the prophet, which told me that I should be king over this people. That's just a thought today. Right, I've got a sick son. He says to his wife, disguise yourself. Why? Why are you disguising yourself? Because we're playing the game, you know. disguise yourself. We can't afford to be open and transparent. I would say that might be one reason why people don't go to the church. Or if they go, they disguise themselves. Because maybe they want the entertainment part of the church, but they don't want the worship part. Or maybe they are in another family, but God wants them to be reassured of the fact that they are in a family where things are done in openness and truth. You don't disguise yourself. You come like in that other story, like that nobleman. I'm here before you, Jesus. Come. This is beautiful. So, in which ways does it happen? I don't know. It just does happen to me. It does happen to us. I am afraid. I don't want the exposure. I'm hiding. I want to find out the truth, but I don't want to be exposed myself. I want to find out the truth, but I don't have the same kind of liberty and openness and losing my self-life. Like losing my self-life is like at the very heart of the message today. Take up the cross every day. Take up the cross. Deny yourself. So, what does do that? The Spirit sent grace, edifying truth in the inner man. God requires truth in the inner man. Psalm 51:6. It happens to us. With all we are getting, we get wisdom. I might look a little silly. One of the things that we love, like you know that I read a lot about Abraham Lincoln, and I'm fascinated by his character and his personality and his humor and his stories and his style. But the thing they couldn't beat, he looked, sometimes he said, they knew he looks like he doesn't know what he's doing. He's going too slow. He's trusting in the wrong people. There was a whole, the press was very bad against Lincoln. I'm going to share with you about that. They said the Lincoln address at Gettysburg was ridiculous. I think it was a Detroit newspaper mocking him for his two-minute speech in the Gettysburg address. It was like amazing stuff. But I want to say something about him that fascinated people, that he wasn't that important. That he had a job to do, and it wasn't his ego. It was more. And it was very refreshing. And when people worked with him and so on, they noticed like he was like very wise. He was wise, and he would win at the end, but in the process, they couldn't see it. But he knew it. Apparently, and he did definitely at different times. But I want to say in this story, the woman disguised herself, very clever, very smart, powerful people, but they lose. Take with you 10 loaves, verse 3, cracknels and a cruse of honey. Go to him, he shall tell you what shall become of the child. Jeroboam's wife did so, rose, went to Shiloh, came to the house of Ahijah, but Ahijah could not see, for his eyes were set. By reason of his age, he is blind. The prophet was blind. In a way, really, she didn't have to disguise herself because he couldn't see her anyway. But God told him who she was when she came to the door. Verse 5, the Lord said unto Ahijah, behold, the wife of Jeroboam comes to ask thee of a thing of thee for her son, for he is sick. Thus and thus shalt thou say unto her, it shall be when she comes in that she shall feign herself to be another woman. And it was so when Ahijah heard the sound of her feet as she came in at the door, that he said, come in, thou wife of Jeroboam. Why feignest thou thyself to be another? For I am sent to thee with heavy tidings. You know what the heavy tidings were? Your son is going to die. And I also know who you are. But how could you know you are blind and also I am disguised? Because he that made the outside made the inside too. Because God knows you. And when you are born again, the greatest privilege you have is to be in the family where there are no games and smoke and mirrors. There are no subtle little sentences that have two meanings. You say something nice, but you mean something evil or wicked or terrible. There's not a family where you tear people down. It's a family where you find yourself edified in Christ and in his love. It's not a family where we rip each other and we wear disguises. We're one way in front of one set of people and another way in front of another set of people. No, this is a privilege for us. Here we are. And that's amazing. That fellowship works horizontally and is the key to our lives. I'm not kidding you. The way I look at life in simple terms is that the Trinity is the reality of the universe, God. And when we are in the Trinity, our lives are different. That's all. That fellowship in the Trinity is powerful. That fellowship in the Trinity says, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. That fellowship in the Trinity is a mystery that goes on and will never end. That fellowship in the Trinity is a love that will endure all things. That fellowship in this family, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, a covenant family, this fellowship in the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, requires of us no disguises, but openness of heart and worship. Then it affects us like this. We've been together for more than 40 years. Not without stumbling, failing, and falling, but getting up and being in the presence of our Heavenly Father and saying, I have sinned. Him saying something that irritates my flesh. You can rub my flesh the wrong way, God. My flesh is not where I want to live. I want to trust in you. I will not live in reaction and run away from you and hide like Adam and Eve. I want to be open before you like this man, the nobleman before Christ, with an open face and say, okay, you say my son is going to live? I believe you. Praise God. He returned and went home, and he found that his son had been healed that same hour that Jesus said it. That's the kind of life we are living now. It's a new one, and it's a different one. But maybe one warning for us all today, this morning, is that you and I have a tendency to put on the disguise and play some other thing. And say it's everything is good, and we should be saying it isn't all good. I need to come before the living God, be filled with his spirit, and be encouraged and edified in truth and in wisdom and in love and in faith. To love my brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, it's a good litmus paper test for my spirituality. To forgive a lot. When people get hurt people, it's like it's a great thing to stand there and be there and be with God and say, I love you or I forgive you or we could talk about this. But this is nothing less than God is on the earth in us and with a purpose because we've been made to be here with something not only God made on the outside, but God made on the inside. Okay? All right, would you pray with me, please? Lord, thank you, God. You're the God of all grace. has made us this way. We are in your family, anointed in your family. Respond to you in the family. Believe you in the family. To love in the family. To care about each other in the family, in the spirit, and in wisdom, and in love, and in truth. It's not sentimental. It's reality. It's true. It's God with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. These are the holiday seasons coming up. The season is coming up. These days are precious days with the family. And yet there is a family of murder and hiding and death and disguises. The family of anger and accusing and attacking. But we are in the family where there is strength and power and love and forgiveness and mercy and kindness and new words, words of edification, words of truth, words of faith, words of grace. Thank you, God. If you're here this morning and you would like Jesus to be in your life, say to Jesus Christ, I believe in you. Forgive me of my sins. And give me this gift of eternal life, I pray. I ask it in your name, Jesus. Anyone saying that prayer, say to God, yes, I believe, just raise your hand. Anybody at all in the auditorium, this is an opportunity for you to make a decision to believe in Christ. You quietly make that decision in your heart. If you'd like to raise your hand, please do that. Anyone at all, raise your hand. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for this family. We come here for our encouragement. We come here to hear a voice behind us. We come here to be edified and get definition. We come here for our healing in the internal part. We come here for our freedom and our joy and our peace. We come here, Lord. And wherever we gather in your name, there you are in our midst. Thank you, God. And when we wake in the morning and we know that you are our Father and you are so much for us and not against us, thank you, God. Teach us to hear your voice and walk by faith in you, in your name. Amen.